another lit bits. This is a mini lit bit, a lit bit on the move. We're actually here today, Adam Smythe and I, James Kidd, in the London Library in central London. And we thought, having made our way to level 10 of the London Library, a level that neither of us thought existed, to talk about fear. I think we're both feeling slightly spooked.
We're very high up, 10th floor. There's a weird generator making noises in the next room.
And an abandoned desk, as though a reader has perhaps been punished for overzealous playing of solitaire.
So, it's the day after Halloween. Spectacularly unfrightening for me. I didn't have any... We had a pumpkin which we lit and then it sort of sagged in a flaccid way and has now been disposed of. But that was about it. But literature and fear. And maybe the first question is, have you ever been scared reading? Do we get fearful reading? I was finding it very hard to think of any books that have made me... See, I was into H.P. Lovecraft at one point in my youth. And that was quite frightening. But
that
I think,
is frightening.
But I was thinking that maybe if you think of scary books, you think of Henry James, Turn of the Screw, which is slightly scary, but not really.
And his cousin M.R. James, who wrote all those ghost stories, which I bought because everyone told me how frightening they were, and then actually they weren't that frightening. They were slightly eerie, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that when I first became a journalist, that I started reading lots of books that I hadn't read since childhood, one of them being Stephen King. I do find King still quite frightening, but I don't know whether it's in quite the same way that I did as a child, where I literally had to put his books down and walk away because I felt so unnerved. Whereas now, there was a story I remember about a man murdering his wife and throwing her down a well, which actually perhaps was more gory than fear.
Yeah. But they're amazingly popular, aren't they? I mean, if you look at the bestseller lists for genre fiction and popular fiction, horror, or maybe not ghost stories anymore, but fear-inducing text, you know, there's hot property. People want to be afraid, don't they? And that itself is a kind of weird thing. Why do people want to be scared? Why do people want to read for fear? I mean, we're used to thinking about reading as a sort of pleasure or escapism or profit or development in some ways, maybe, but simply to be afraid seems like a very weird thing. I mean, what's all that about?
Well, maybe that's it, that we want to read so we don't feel alone, but perhaps we read sometimes in order to feel alone and to feel the limits of our existence. So we read Jaws because of the slightly exquisite pleasure of imagining what we would feel like if we were in the water off some beautiful coastline and saw that shark fin pop above the surface a few metres away. We're experiencing the limits perhaps of our mortality.
Well, I suppose it's also to do with that Aristotelian idea of catharsis, and why Aristotle wrestles with that problem of why we like tragedies, doesn't he? And why people like going to the theatre to see terrible things happen and seeing Titus Andronicus and people having stumps cut off or hands cut off, leaving stumps and tongues cut out and everyone murdered. And that idea of purging of feelings of horror that you would have to otherwise experience in life. I mean, it's a sort of safe place to kind of get that experience without actually having to have your hands cut off.
But that's it, isn't it? Because at the end of Jaws or Stephen King or Dracula, that we close the book and go off and have a nice cup of tea and a muffin, a hot muffin preferably, and feel perhaps a sense of being alive that we didn't before, that our heart, fear raises our heart rate, raises our awareness perhaps of what's going on around us. It's odd though, isn't it? Because we're living in a culture where some of the huge commercial hits recently have been vampire stories and horror stories, but transferred so that they're almost not scary, that they're exploring human relationships like Twilight or even Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Or they're kitsch, or they're witty, or they're camp, or they're kind of overly arch and meta and are too aware of themselves. And I suppose that's one of the kind of problems or issues with ghost stories as a form, that they become very generic and you become very aware of their conventions, and that must at a certain point start to limit the fear that they can induce. And if they become knowing ghost stories that kind of foreground their artifice and their conventions, then it seems you're retreating from any possibility of fear pretty sharpish.
Does that say something perhaps about the way we're reading, you and I as adults, that maybe the stories aren't foregrounding those kind of conventions, we're just aware of them? Does that rob a story that perhaps frightened us as a child, where it's we're thinking, here comes a monster? As an adult, we're looking at it thinking, here comes an enormous Freudian symbol of our father or / mother. And we can't feel the fear because we can't quite suspend our disbelief in the way that we did formerly.
Yeah. I was trying to discipline my 2.5-year-old yesterday.
I wonder where that sentence is going.
There's a fork in the road, and I've gone with 2.5-year-old. And he wouldn't eat his dinner. And I said, there's a monster coming up the stairs, and the monster's going to eat your dinner unless you eat your dinner. And it was awful, the terror that filled my son's head, and he couldn't get rid of it. And he kept on coming back to it throughout the evening. Is the monster coming? Is the monster there? And I've, you know, clearly traumatized it. But he did finish the dinner, so that was fine. There are no sharks in the literal sense in the London Library. But there is a ghost, isn't there? Are there talks of ghosts?
There's talks of ghosts. I mean, it could be, again, a member who's failed to find his way out. There is a rumour that in the basement, some miles below where we're standing now, a ghost wanders the stacks, perhaps misplacing books deliberately so that I can't find them when I desperately need that folio edition of Edinburgh's population study. Have you ever seen a ghost?
No, I did chance upon Ian Wilson once coming around a corner. We did, just before we came up here, we did walk past the stacks for S.Fear, which was just before S.Ferns and just after S.Exeter. And it was an oddly sort of impoverished little shelf with about 9 volumes. And it was weird that there presumably are stacks and stacks of ghost stories beneath us somewhere. But as a sort of category of discussion within criticism, it didn't seem to really exist. I mean, it was well significantly shorter than S.Ferns, which is going to be the next pod.
Absolutely. I mean, especially because, isn't it, fear in that way perhaps works a little bit like humour. And I remember at the beginning of Hazlitt's lectures on the English comic writers, he talks about, in fact, rather like Adam, playing with a child and alternately scaring the child and making the child laugh, but in a very similar way, which is through surprise, making your hands into a mask of some sort, and then either showing a horrific, grotesque face or a pleasant face. And the child will either laugh with glee or be absolutely terrified. With Hazlitt, mainly terror, I feel. But it's interesting that, isn't it, that humour and fear perhaps are very equally hard to quantify in some ways.
Hard to write about. And in a sense that analysing it kills it. Empties out the thing that you're trying to get at.
Are we protecting ourselves with our own critical faculties? Do we keep the fear at a slight distance now?
And I do actually genuinely think there is a ghost coming up the stairs, so I think we better...
Or it could be a librarian, as we are now talking at some volume.
we better leave it there before we're exhumed. And bid you farewell in this slightly spooky mini-lit bit. We'll be back imminently.
Imminently with S.Ferns.
Yeah, so tweet us your questions about any kind of bracken, and we will be on the case. See you soon. Goodbye.